I hope it did what it was designed to do, was cause you to read. Good, good. That's what I'm looking for. Some of your grades are not totally correct. That's why I was telling you, don't worry if you had the right answer and it marked you wrong. You know, some of you are like I was in college. One of my professors always told me when I was in college, we had to actually do essays. And anybody who went to college and had classes know that when you talk about an essay, you have to actually start from scratch. There's no questions asked, no nothing. It's just one question and told you expound. And so you had to really write an essay for your exam. And so one of my professors always says, it's always good to put more than less, because you can't go wrong with putting more, but you can always go wrong if you put less and leave something out. And so some of you might have had some extra words in there that actually were in the book, but might have done it twice just to make sure you had it right, which I have no problem with. I'm going through personally and looking at them and making sure that all your answers are correct, and some that were marked wrong were marked wrong improperly. And so I give you credit for those. So nevertheless, some of your grades, nobody had any terrible grades. Everybody done wonderfully. And so some of your points will arise, because if you got an 80, some of you might wind up with a 9 if it was wrong. Now, if you had a misspelled word and I go through and see it was misspelled, then that's going to stay the same. Because there's no reason for misspelled words.
All right.
Last class, you watched the video and I began to talk about covenant. And began to talk about the rules of engagement. This is very important. In any covenant, there has to be rules of engagement. What are rules of engagement? To make it plain and simple, I gave you a definition in the last class and on the video, those who watch by internet. But simply, rules of engagement are the if you allow me to say the word, laws that are preset that will help everyone reach a certain agenda. So you never should enter into a covenant without knowing the rules of engagement or being aware that there are rules of engagement. In everyday vernacular in the world system, rules of engagement are called terms of the contract. The thing that's different between the world system and the kingdom is that rules of engagement, they are progressive, meaning they're always evolving. They're always evolving based on the Holy Spirit and God. So in covenant, that's one of the most important things, understanding there are rules of engagement, meaning there are certain requirements from both parties in order for the agenda to be met. All right. Last class on the video, you watched and we began to talk about how if the church doesn't walk in covenant, we can't reach our full potential. When we don't reach our full potential, that means the world begins to deteriorate, and it deteriorates to a point to where it begins to backwash into the church. And we're starting to see that today. Because now we're starting to see stuff that we never thought we would see in the church. We see one of the most prominent things that we see in today is this argument about homosexuality. There is no argument. There is no argument. It was very clear in Exodus. Paul was very clear. There is no argument. But because the church is not in covenant, and because there are more than one agenda, it allows that stuff to creep into the church. So now there becomes a guessing game between what's right and what's wrong, when the Bible clearly states what's right and what's wrong. And so because we're not in covenant tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about synergy, which is the combining of energies, synonymous, meaning the same Energy, put the words together, synergy, meaning giftings and abilities put together to reach a common goal. We're going to talk about that. Matter of fact, you go ahead and turn to Genesis, the sixth chapter. Genesis, the 11th chapter. And I'm looking for the sixth verse, but we're going to start with the first verse. We're going to talk about three different powers tonight that covenant needs in order to be effective. Genesis, the 11th chapter. Now, mind you, I want you to begin to, for me and for the sake of this class, try not to go off of what you've learned about covenant thus far, because we here in America really do not understand covenant. We do not understand covenant. First of all, how I know we don't understand covenant? Because we can't even get the first covenant that God established right between humans, which was marriage. We can't even get that one straight. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not dogging or going off on anybody. It's just that, you know, I just need you to understand the strength of covenant. When you say you're coming into covenant with somebody, the only two ways you can get out of a covenant. There's only two ways you can get out of a covenant. Listen to me. There's only two ways you can get out of a covenant. One, if one of the parties die. And the second way out of a covenant is if one party begins to walk away from God and has the possibility to lead you astray. All right, that's the two ways out of covenant. There's no other way out of covenant. You can't get out of covenant because you tired of this. You see, you can't get out of covenant because of that. And that's very important because we don't really understand covenant because covenant is the very thing that allows us to reach our full potential. You cannot reach your full potential on your own. Nobody can. Jesus right now, Jesus, do you know why Jesus picked the 12? The reason why Jesus chose the 12 was because he knew that he was going to have to die and go present himself back to the Father. So now if Jesus is presenting himself back to the Father, who is going to be here to spread the news that he did this? So Jesus could not reach his full potential until he came in a covenant with man. Are you seeing this? So nobody can reach their full potential. See, God, there's no such thing as God reaching his full potential because God is, always has been, and always will be at full potential. It's no defining God. So it's not him reaching his full potential, but his son could not be displayed like he's being displayed if he hadn't chosen the 12. Is that making sense? So you see how important covenant is. Covenant, now watch this now. Watch this. Just read an article. Dr. Forbes was telling me he read an article and alluded to me that a theologian was talking about one of the reasons why there's proof that Jesus was on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection is truth, is because there is no other religion recorded in history to where as many apostles or the original 12 he picked died, became martyrs for what they believe. I think John was the only one that wasn't killed. The rest of the apostles were martyred. That's covenant. Are you getting the strength of the word covenant? See, when you get to, see, God can't get nothing done here in the earth realm, especially the 21st century. He gets very little done. There's more that God wants to do, but very little is getting done because everybody becomes dissatisfied when stuff don't go their way. When things don't go their way, now that's why we got so many little churches. 90% of churches that are born or created this day in the United States, 90% of them were born out of disgruntled members. Disgruntled. I can't, pastor ain't do it like I want to do it. If I was pastor, this is what I'd have done. So I'm going to leave and go do my own thing, and then I'm going to try to take some people with me. Are you seeing it? But are you understanding the strength of the word covenant? All right. Genesis, by now you ought to find, I hope you found Genesis the 11th chapter. Now, it's three different powers that we're going to see here, are the results of three different powers in this Genesis the 11th chapter. If you don't, not familiar with the story of the Tower of Babel. And in here, their objective or their agenda was not God's agenda, and we're going to talk about that. But we can still learn from them on what they did, because God, they were so much together that God himself had to come down and see what these people were doing. Are you seeing this? Watch this, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, listen to this now. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now here we see where a group of people have come and decided to do something. First of all, they decided to do something that wasn't ordained by God, okay? So when God come down, God said this. Watch, go to verse 6 again. Watch this. He said, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained for them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language that they may not understand. Key word, understand one another's speech. So here it is. These people have come together, was getting ready to build this tower. God comes down, and watch this. God says something. Now, we're talking about, the first thing I want you to recognize, they had the power of communication. Now, in the power of communication, it's not so much in us being able to talk to each other. That's not the power of communication, because I know people that talk to each other there and can't agree. So it's not us having the ability to communicate with each other, but it's having, watch this now, the power of communication, in order to be effective, it has to have the spirit of understanding. And the spirit of understanding can only come from God the Father. Let's break it down. Watch this. They have different people from all across a region. What really was happening, they was coming together. They had different languages, but they had the spirit of understanding. So just say they had French and English and Spanish and Portuguese. They were all together building this tower. And even though they had different languages, they would talk to each other in different languages, but they understood what each other was saying. So when God comes down, see, watch this. It wasn't so much God confounding them and confusing their language and giving them different languages. They already had different languages. What God came and did was take back his spirit of understanding. Because they were only empowered to build this tower based on them being able to understand each other. And the only way that two languages can understand each other is by the spirit of God. Are you seeing this? So God came down. When he said confounding languages, he wasn't giving them different languages. What he did was remove the spirit of understanding. And so now we, the church, the only way we're going to be able to walk in covenant is we must embrace the spirit of understanding. If you don't embrace the spirit of understanding and all thy getting, get understanding. What that means? We're so quick. I have a principle that I live by in my life. This is how I decide, me personally, this is how I decide who I'm going to listen to, who I'm going to let speak into my life, who I'm not going to let speak into my life. If a person can't challenge my current theology, they can't do nothing for me. Notice what I said, my current theology. In other words, all I'm saying is what I understand about God. If you can't challenge my current understanding of who God is and cause it to go high, I can't listen at you. Why? We wasting time. why am I going to listen? We wasting time. So they must have, we're so quick, watch this. We're so quick to judge when God puts his hand on somebody and comes into the body of Christ with something to catapult the body of Christ to another level in him. Instead of us having the spirit of understanding and saying, I'm going to sit back, be quiet, and listen and see how this pans out. See, what happens is when somebody comes along and challenges our current theology, we have a chance to throw up our defense mechanism. When somebody comes and tells you something different about, I'm about to challenge your theology right now. We're going to have a test right now. Some of y'all love Peter getting out the boat. Peter had faith getting out the boat. Peter was powerful getting out the boat. Y'all know this. We talked about it. You seen this in the video. Challenge your theology. Let me say it again. Peter was straight out of order when he got out the boat. Why he was out of order? Because Jesus had already given instructions, get in the boat and go to the other side. So now when Peter decided to get out the boat after seeing the storms, Peter was not concerned about Jesus' agenda. He was concerned about himself. So that's why when he got out of the boat, he said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, well, Jesus can't deny himself. Jesus said, that's me. Come on, Peter. So when Peter stepped out that boat, into a place that he was not graced for, he began to look around. That's when he began to sink. Jesus had to pull him up and put him back in the. If he wasn't supposed to be in the boat, why didn't Jesus let him continue to walk with him on the water? Because he wasn't supposed to be walking with Jesus on the water. He was supposed to be in the boat. That challenged your theology. Now you see that Peter wasn't in so much faith. Peter's really in disobedience. Now, did that challenge your theology? Are you judging me right now? you understand what I'm saying? See, the word of God is progressive. So without the spirit of understanding, go to Ephesians, the first chapter. I'm saying this, the reason why we're talking about this is because if you don't have the spirit of understanding, then you can't just have understanding. You're going to have to have the spirit of understanding, which means the Holy Spirit is going to have to be involved. You're not going to just be able to wrap your intellect around some of the stuff God wants to say and do. Can you imagine them guys wrapping their head around, taking barrels and going to fill up with water? Dipping a cup out of it, bringing it to the head. You can't wrap your head around that. You have to have a spirit of understanding to know what's going on. This is Jesus. He told us to do this. Okay, we're going to do this. I don't know. No, I don't really understand all what's about to happen. This making sense. Ephesians, the first chapter. Watch this. Ephesians, the first chapter. And the 17th verse. This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Right? Yes, sir. Why? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the purpose of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul was praying that we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our eyes will be of understanding, will be enlightened. That's the spirit of understanding. So now, if I'm not praying this prayer, if I'm not in this attitude, or I'm not conditioned for this, as soon as somebody or something comes up that challenges my current theology, and I don't understand, I'm supposed to have the spirit of wisdom, because watch the spirit of understanding. Watch this. The spirit of understanding was the very thing that was allowing the children at the Tower of Babel to come together. They were able to communicate different languages. Communicating different languages, talking to each other, and was comprehending what the other was saying. That can only happen by God. We are speaking the same language, and still the spirit of confusion shows up. Why? Because we have not allowed the spirit of understanding to rise up in our lives. Are you seeing this? So we're talking about the importance of communication. You must have the spirit of understanding. The next power that has to be available is the power of strategy. Now, we got strategies. We have strategies. Oh, yeah, we got strategies. We got all kinds. We got witnessing strategy. We got soul evangelism strategies. We got all kinds of strategies. But the question is, where did the strategy come from? See, they had a game plan. And obviously, they had an effective game plan, because it was so effective that God had to come down himself. See, for some of our strategies that we have in our churches, Satan don't have to move and do nothing. Because before we even get to even employing the strategies, we first ain't going to understand each other. There's no power of communication. Then if there's no power of communication, there definitely can be no power of strategy. Because we ain't going to follow, everybody going to be doing what they want to do. Are you seeing this? The Bible talks about in James 1 and 5, he that lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Why? He that lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Why was that put in the Bible? It was put in the Bible so that whenever we don't know what to do, we have a place to go to find out what to do. See, the power of strategy. This is why government has to be in place. Because government is in place so that strategy can be effectively employed. It can be effectively engaged. So you got the power of communication and the power of strategy. Final power. The power of purpose. And for y'all that want to know, it's in chapter 5. Power of purpose. Those people had a purpose. There is very definite. That's why I talk about agenda so much. They had an agenda. They said, we're going to build this tower, and we're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to build a tower straight into heaven. That's what they said. We're going to build a tower straight into heaven. So they had an agenda. Now notice, watch this. Now notice what all these different, the power of communication, the power of strategy, and the power of purpose all had unison. I mean, the power of communication led to the power of strategy. Power of strategy led to purpose. These people, once again, don't too much move God off his throne. Ain't too many things. You go through the Bible, ain't too much going to move God off his throne. I know this moved him off his throne. I know when Aaron and Miriam came against Moses, The Bible says God came and met him at the door of the tabernacle. You know, he came out the holiest of holies, which he really wasn't able to come out of, but, you know, that sedition and rebellion got him moving. We're going to get this right. Y'all get this straight. So it ain't much. So anytime God moves on the throne, it's somebody operating very significantly in the earth realm. So God had to come. God came down to see what these people were doing. And he had to remove, because God is not the author of confusion. So this just King James Version translation gives the connotation that he went down and confused their language. That ain't what happened. He went down and removed his spirit of understanding, which caused confusion to set in. Are you seeing this? So those three powers, those three things, you have to have the power of communication, the power of strategy, and the power of purpose. If you don't have those three, covenant will not be effective. Covenant will not be effective. This is why I'm counseling some people tonight after this class on marriage. This is our final session. And that's what we're going to talk about, the power of communication, the power of strategy, and the power of purpose. You got to know how to talk to each other. You know, you got to know how to. And when you talk to each other, you're not just talking to each other just to talk to each other. You're talking to each other because now you both of y'all have the Spirit of God. So now you use the Spirit of God to come up with what why we together. From that, you find out why. You find out the purpose. You find out the foundation. And from that, covenant can only get stronger. Are you seeing this? So there's so you have to have the power of communication, power of strategy, and the power of purpose. Now we're going to start talking about the power of covenant in chapter 6. Go ahead and you can write it down, or you can write these things down, or you can underline in your book, but are these things I need you to understand about covenant? I'm sorry, not the power of covenant, the definition of covenant, chapter 7. I'm skipping 6. I did 6 last week. That's when we start talking about in Isaiah. If you read the book, you'll see it. We start talking about Isaiah, how the church is decaying, how the world system is now influencing the church instead of the church being influencing the world system. And it's because we're not walking in covenant. It's because we're not together. Are you seeing this? So chapter 7, the definition of covenant. Now this is what I want you to underline. I need you to underline this whole first paragraph. Those watching by internet, if you have your book, the whole first paragraph. A covenant defined as the declaration of an oath of allegiance through an agreed document with a fixivity of law and absolutes, with the view to implement a system of sanctions to provide social continuity and government through elected representatives for accurate implementation of the said process. Now that's a long definition, but it's important that you know this. Now, I want you to get this twisted. Now, this now I'm not talking about the government of the United States. We're talking about continuity and government through elected representatives. I ain't talking about elected representatives, those chosen by the Holy Spirit. God's elect. So don't think we got a vote in who's going to lead us spiritually. Talking about the Holy Spirit election. Now I'm going to take my time and define covenant because I want you to understand this. Because as we go through this and we begin to define covenant, you're going to begin to learn that the covenant that we understand is not the covenant that God has been trying to get us to understand. See, it's not just a fair weather agreement. You don't just casually come together in covenant. It's not a casual agreement. This is something that you have to think about. This is something that you have to, we talked about the process of internalization. This is something that has to be internalized, has to become concrete. This is something that you just don't jump into. That's why I don't believe in all these quick marriages. You met somebody on Tuesday. Y'all talking about getting married on Friday. No. There's something we got to think about this. I don't know you. And so I believe the same thing ought to be for churches. Just don't jump up and join no church. I need to see what the man preaching every Sunday, woman preaching every Sunday. I need to see what they do, what they saying, what they doing. I'm gonna get on the internet and see if there's anything anybody else been saying that they done to them. Has this joker been ever caught in immoral sex sins before? You don't need the Holy Spirit for that all the time. You can go on Google and find that out. I don't understand. I don't understand why people will follow somebody who is immoral. Because it's proven over and over biblically that what is on the leader comes on those who are connected. I know a man that followed his spiritual father so close that his spiritual father died of throat cancer and he contracted throat cancer. You got to know who you're following. So you don't casually come into covenant with somebody. You don't casually throw your allegiance to a person. Watch, let's start defining this, because we can start defining this. The first word I want to define is allegiance, because that's in the definition of covenant in our first. Allegiance is loyalty to a person or a cause. Now, for this particular class, it's going to be allegiance to a person. Because we're going to find out later on, I think it's in chapter 9, if you don't fall in love with the person, you have to have actual affection for the person that you're connected to. If you don't have affection for the person you're connected to, then you really don't care about them. You're trying to get from them. So in this case, it's a loyalty to a person or a cause. So I want to focus on person. Loyalty. Faithful, especially to a person or an idea. Psalms 89:34, you know, to turn to God, say, I shall not alter my covenant. That's God saying, once I say something, and once I say I'm going to do something, there's no changing. See, this is covenant is serious. That's why you can't just casually. That's why this an LTMA. That's why they have to go through an interview process. That's why they have to go through a probationary period. Because we're not about to come in covenant with people who don't want to adjust to the rules of engagement. We don't need no confusion. We don't need nobody in LTMA that's trying to hold us up from reaching our full potential. We're all together trying to reach our full potential, so we ain't let nobody in play no games. We've been around people play games. We ain't got time for that. Same way you ought to feel about your life. Same way you ought to feel about your church. See, I'm glad you all are here, because in your various churches, you can be a watchdogs, if you allow me to say. You better people come in and you better say, this person ain't about our pastor's agenda. I need to watch them. That might be somebody that hadn't even got close to pastor yet, but they got close to you. And because you carry your pastor's spirit, you carry your pastor's heart, you carry your pastor's agenda, you're able to recognize, I don't know what they want, what they here for. And you're able to watch. Are you seeing this? A declaration. It must have a declaration, watch this, of an oath of allegiance. It must be declared. It must be verbally stated. That's why in a marriage ceremony, the vows are said out loud. Why? You letting everybody know where you stand. Where you feel? This is why Jesus say, Jesus began to talk to me, begin to say, those that reject me in the open, I'm going to reject you. Because it has to be a public declaration. It can't be something that, I'm going to keep to myself. No, this has to be something that everybody needs to know. Why? Because if something strange happens when you declare your oath or allegiance publicly, when you make a public a public display, that's it, a public display of your allegiance. Something happens. You begin to find out who's around you. See, that's the purpose of a public, of a verbal, because now you begin to find out everybody around you where they stand. It is intentional. It's governed by fixed laws, the rules of engagement. It's governed by absolutes. As I said earlier, it's not a careless coming together or a careless getting together. It's on purpose. Now watch this. There are rules of engagement. There are rules of engagement, both said and progressive, that is established on a journey to fulfill the agreed purpose. In other words, some rules of engagement you might know right offhand because they told them to you. Some rules of engagement you may have to catch because the leader themselves didn't know it was a rules of engagement, because the Holy Spirit is progressive, always moving forward. Are you seeing this? See, sometimes things change because we can't do the old things no more, because we got to do something new. So something new might require another rule of engagement. Give you an example. God told Moses the first time to strike the rock, right? Second time, what he told Moses to do? Speak to the rock. Did Moses, what Moses did? Struck the rock. So what God told him? You can't go to the promise. Rules of engagement. Are you seeing this? It became progressive. Moses couldn't do what he did before, because God had progressively moved the rules of engagement. So now, Moses, I want to teach you about your authority. So now I need you to speak to the rock. See, progressive. So the rules of engagement are going to be stated or said, and then some of them are going to be unstated and progressive. But see, watch this. Watch how this fits together now. When you are operating with the spirit of understanding, everything ain't got to be said to you. There's some things that you would just catch. There's some things that you would just pick up and know to do. Some things you'll pick up and know not to do. That's because you're in tune to the agenda. You're in tune to the person. You're in tune to the covenant. You're locked in. Are you seeing this? This is important. See, this, once again, it's not just a casual coming together. See, this class begin to change some of your marriages. See, because it's just this covenant thing is just not we here together for each other's convenience. See, we're coming together for an agenda for God. Watch this. This is what I love about covenant. Covenant provides protection and security that the parties will be honorable and accountable to each other. A covenant provides security and protection. That's what I love about covenant. It provides security and protection. What that means? That means that when you're in covenant, that's why you don't quickly come into covenant with everybody. When you come into covenant with somebody, they're there to help you provide security and protection for you. One of the examples the author is going to use is the covenant between David and Jonathan. It's one of the covenants. He's going to use that example. And Jonathan, who was Saul's son, who was actually coming against David, he gave David his sword. When he gave David his sword, he became defenseless. So now David was responsible for providing his security. Are you seeing this? So he gave up something, and now the other party is now responsible for his security. So in other words, why does covenant provide security and protection? Because here it is, you're learning in another class about this. But this, it fits here too. In the culture of honor, when one of our fellow brethren or sisters make a mistake, it's not time for us to now be judge, jury, and sentences her. It's time for us to provide that covenant, security, and protection until they can recover themselves. See, what happens is, now watch this, this is what happens. One of our brothers and sisters make a mistake. They sin. They get in sin. What we want to do? First of all, we want to stand them up in front of the church. First of all, thank you. First of all, you want to embarrass. It's just embarrassing. We got to punish you some kind of way. We're going to embarrass you. So, you know, nowadays, people are like, no, you're not standing me up in front of the church. You're not about to embarrass me. So I'm just not coming back. Watch this now. I like the Discovery Channel, okay? I like the Discovery Channel, I like the Animal Channel. I like watching that nature stuff. And one thing I've learned about predators, especially lions and wolves and all those that chase their prey, they'll chase a whole herd. And then they watch that one, they just get tired and get off to themselves. And then they forget about the rest of them, and the whole pride of lions go and attack that one. Now, there's one particular animal, one particular herd of animals that ain't playing that, and they the water buffalo. Water buffalo ain't playing that. If one of that ones fall off to the side, two or three of them looking back and see ain't there, let the lion go over there. The water buffalo coming back and going to start slinging lines. That's called covenant, security, and protection. Are you seeing this? So this is why, now watch this. This is why you can't covenant, come into covenant with just no anybody. Because some people will make mistakes, but the question is, will they try to recover themselves? Because you got some shysters that will make mistakes and you realize they never was right from the beginning. Are you seeing this? So when you can't just jump in the covenant with somebody. You have to find out who are they made of, who they genuinely are. You know, what they're about. What they stand for. And sometimes this is why you need the Holy Spirit. Because then you need the spirit of discernment. Now you need the spirit of discernment for it. God, look, there's a prayer that we pray. I learned it from Apostle. The prayer is expose, reveal, remove, and replace. I pray that prayer. Oh, I pray it. I pray it for me, my wife, my children, you know. And listen to me. That prayer works. I've seen some people come into our lives, thought they were getting a foothold. The next thing you know, the Holy Spirit revealed they do something stupid. And now, here's another thing about us Christians. And I'm closing here. Here's something about us Christians. And we're going to continue this next week. Here's what about us Christians. We have to learn in covenant. We have to learn to love people where they are, not love people where we want them to be. Let me explain that statement. We have to learn to love people where they are. Look, I know you're a klepto. I know you like to steal. So, I knowing this, I'm not going to treat you bad, but I'm not sending you to the store, go buy groceries with me with my money. All right, watch this. I know you've been having some questionable issues. You're a pedophile. Now, you know, I'm going to love you from a distance, but I'm not about to send my daughter or my son to go play with you. Hip Christians, we like to say, oh, they born again. We love them. And no, yes, you born again, but you got to show fruit for your repentance. So my point for saying that is when the Holy Spirit show you somebody, believe him. when the Holy Spirit allows you to see who a person really is, believe it and begin to act accordingly. See, all this is, I'm still talking about covenant. See, because covenant, I'll give you a prime example, and I promise you I'm closing right here. David knew Saul was trying to kill him. Their relationship changed. David went from the man that used to get Saul out of his ugly moods to now Saul realized he wasn't doing what God wanted to do and God was going to replace him and found out it was going to be David. Then he became David's enemy. So David started loving him from a distance. Even to the point where David could have took his life. Y'all know this. David could have taken his life and he became, his heart was smote simply because he ripped the man's garment. Covenant. David was loving him where he was. From a distance. He knew Saul wanted to kill him, but he didn't. But when he had a chance to kill Saul, he didn't do it because he was standing by covenant. He was standing on the covenant he had made with Saul. Are you seeing this? So in my closing, covenant, we can continue defining covenant. It's just not this casual getting together. See, I encourage ministers. They call all the time to me, man, we want to join LTMA. Wait a minute, you sure you want to join LTMA? You sure that's what you want to do? Because this ain't no trade organization. This is not something we just casually coming together. There gonna be some demands made on you. There's some demands that's made on us. That requirements that we have to follow through with. Like right now, we're in the prayer accountability. These are pastors, leaders of churches, got to report to apostles how long they're praying. Are you seeing this? So the rules of engagement are in place. So then you got, man, I think, this is what I tell them. I tell them, I say, man, I think you might want to get into a couple of the meetings. Get into some of Dr. Thomas's meetings, you know, read some of his books, see how he flows before you make a commitment to do something. And you, because some of them, we have some people join LTMA and say, oh, I wasn't looking for all this. You see. So I encourage people, before you get into a covenant, you have to study it out. Find out, Holy Spirit, what you saying about this? Why this person here? How this person found me? Did they find me by you, or they find me by Satan trying to throw me for a loop? Are you seeing this? So covenant is just not a casual coming together. It is something that is done on purpose. It is something that is thought out, and it's something that is definite, and it's something that is concrete. So before you get into covenant, you got to check it out. I'll see you all next week.